Hi, I'm Grover Beindorf. I'm 14 years old. I live in Defiance, Ohio, which is somewhere between Toledo and Hicksville. It's a nice town, but pretty average, I guess. To tell you the truth, that's how I was, too. That is, until last April, when everything happened.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Now, if you're gonna blame someone, you should blame me. But things just didn't happen like they were supposed to. It's like everything snowballed on me. I'm getting ahead of my story. Let's start at the beginning, when Mom and Dad got married.
British Sky Broadcasting presents House Arrest, starring Jamie Lee Curtis as Janet Beindorf and Kevin Pollock as Ned Beindorf. The film is written by Michael Hitchcock and directed by Harry Weiner. The film is voiced by Edward Nudd on behalf of the MCS agency. Black and white footage of Grover's parents' wedding. They're kissing in a car as a cartoon heart encompasses the happy couple. They wave at the wedding guests and the car drives off. A watermelon has Hawaii written on the side and the groom is playing a guitar and smiling at the camera, which is recorded in a home movie style. The words honeymoon are written above him and small hearts appear as he mouths the words I love you to camera. The happy couple embrace each other and kiss passionately. Suddenly, the bride turns to the camcorder and sticks out her tongue, then flicks a hand in a dismissive manner and mouths the words to go away. She then goes back to kissing her husband. Later, the happy couple are outside a house and holding up a sold sign. The woman has a bottle of champagne in her hand as she stands next to her husband, smiling ecstatically. The basement of the house, and the man holds up the architect's drawings. The woman shows a tube, and written on the side it reads, Beindorf Family Room. She points down with her finger, and it becomes apparent that she's pregnant. The man strokes her tummy. The words Grover appear, and arrows point to her belly. A hospital, and the woman has a baby in her arms, and she finger waves to the video camera. Her husband appears and has a cigar in his mouth, as he beams in delight. Later on, a hospital again. Helium balloons declare, it's a girl, and words over the mother and daughter read, and baby. On the hospital bed is the husband and the young boy, Grover. The woman holds the baby in blankets, and there are smiles all round. More writing appears, it declares, and baby makes four. Now it's Christmas. A fairy suspended from the roof by a piece of string, and it's connected to the top of a Christmas tree. It slowly descends from one side of the room to the tree. When it hits the top, the fairy lights come on. Back in time, and the happy couple are kissing and embracing each other at their wedding. A heart shape frames the couple, and the image disappears. A young boy with long hair takes a tape out of a video recorder.
So, what do you think?
It's excellent.
Except the song.
Stacy, it's their song.
I still think it sucks.
Jeez, folks. Your parents have been married 18 years? There's got to be some kind of record.
Teddy, Jimmy, you're going to be late for school.
I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah, it will.
No, it won't.
Eloise.
Hi, kids.
Hi, Mrs. Finley.
Would you get to rest?
You can't make us. Yeah, you're not a real mom.
A rocket shoots into the roof and explodes. Louise Finley wipes her face with a cloth.
That's how I know there's a God.
I'm coming!
Would you just get the bomb squad dressed?
Shut up!
Hey,
it's
Freddie.
I don't owe you any more alimony.
It's
Louise!
Coming!
Look! What?
What?
Cosmo!
What do you think?
Shut up! What
do you mean child support?
Get your dress back, Jeff.
Why would I owe you child support? I've got the kid!
Wife number two.
Thanks.
Grover and Stacy cycle off. They cycle across a road and under an arch which reads, Welcome to Defiance, a luscious tree-lined street. The kids pull into a drive of a large house and go inside.
Anybody home?
We're in here.
Stacy takes the VHS out of a bag and holds it behind her back as they walk into the kitchen. They pass an empty tray that has cling film over it labelled Silver Serving Tray Cover.
Morning.
Morning.
Where'd you go so early?
To Matt's.
Did you get her note?
Yes, thank you.
Well, you are the note queen.
Yes, I am. And here's another one. Today's my Thursday staff meeting. I'm going to be late. There's a lasagna in the freezer. Put it in at 5 o'clock at 3:50, no higher, smarty. I'll be home to take it out.
So why were you at Matt's?
He was just helping us or something.
What?
Happy anniversary!
Happy anniversary.
Their parents, Janet and Ned, look shocked and uncomfortable.
Unwrap it.
It is for both of you. Do it together.
Janet wipes her hands on her penny and walks over to the kids at a table and takes the tape.
We call it the best of the Beindorfs.
The best part's when I'm born. Did I say something wrong?
No, honey, why don't we watch it later?
Listen,
after work?
Kids,
we're,
Daddy and I have something we need to talk to you about.
Janet?
A school canteen.
It's mystery meat day. Grover Beindorf just can't get enough. Say something, girl.
Turn it off, Matt.
Matt films a girl's breasts.
Ooh, baby. Come to Papa.
Next.
I'm paying for both.
You're a quarter short.
That's all I've got.
Move out of the line, put something back. Move out of the line, put something back. Here.
Grover pays the extra money.
Oh, thanks.
Come for me, it's gonna
go. Go sit with her.
Yeah?
Can't breathe. Why not? You just loaned Brooke Figler lunch. She's got to be nice to you.
She doesn't even know her.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
Hey, where you going, Finley? Why don't you just chill, man?
What'd you say, Barndorf? I didn't hear you.
I said, I'm sorry.
Well, good. Now tell me that you're a skinny, ugly little wussy.
Oh, TJ.
I'm a skinny, ugly little wussy.
No shit.
TJ sweeps Grover's feet from under him, making him fall into a canteen bin. Ted and Grover cross the room and sit at a table.
You geek!
Loser!
Remember when Krupp pulled down your gym shorts? Or when he punched sixth grade and he said he was going to beat up all the fifth graders, but he only beat up you? Or in fourth grade when he smeared dog crap all over your back and he called you turd boy?
Matt, shut up, okay?
Matt looks shocked.
I'm sorry. My parents are getting separated.
Really? Oh, hey. Groves, I'm sorry. Did they say why?
Not really.
Well, I don't mean to scare you, but that's usually a bad sign. It means there's a lot wrong. Who's moving out, your mom or dad?
My dad.
Also bad. If your mom's moving out, it's usually just temporary. Check out his suitcases. Most of them are packed. You're really in trouble.
What do you mean?
Divorce.
No, they're not getting divorced. They said it was only a separation. Divorce isn't even up for consideration.
Groves, I hate to break it to you, but that's what they always say. First it's separation, then it's divorce. If I were you, I'd lock them in a closet until they worked everything out. But hey, look on the bright side. From now on, you get twice the gifts on your birthday and Christmas. Kidding.
Grover looks at Matt, saddened and disheartened. A house, and Grover goes into a bedroom where his parents' suitcases lie packed at the bottom of the bed, with the family cat sitting on top of them. He opens the wardrobe to be greeted by an empty space. Grover's in his room playing with a mechanical toy. Stacy enters. Grover stands up and crosses to his bed.
How's it going?
Ned.
Same here.
Stacy walks in and goes to him.
you do about it?
I don't know.
The cat appears.
Have you been down in the basement again? I think there's mice down there.
Grover looks on thoughtfully.
Come on.
Grover and Stacy leave the bedroom and go downstairs to the basement door. They open it, switch on a light, and slowly walk downstairs. The room is a workshop with a wooden table and a wheelbarrow in the corner, and planks of wood lie scattered around. Nighttime, and the kids lead their parents blindfolded down the basement steps. The room is decorated like a Hawaiian beach.
When did you kids do all this?
When we got home from school.
What do you think?
Grover! Honey, you know the rules about this. You're not supposed to touch it. It's only for a very special occasion.
You guys are getting separated. What could be more special than that?
Good cake.
Thanks.
Thanks.
And you made the basement look very festive.
We want to remind you of your honeymoon in Hawaii. Desil and I, you stayed in. I made it.
And, Dad, we even found your old ukulele.
Oh, my God. Where'd you find this?
It was stuck behind the workbench.
Why don't you play something?
Yeah.
No, that's probably not a good idea. Listen, kids, I'm not sure you understood.
Yeah, we did. You guys are getting separated. What we don't understand is why.
Grover.
Are you two having affairs?
No.
Oh, no. Kids. It's like we said this morning. Daddy and I are just having some difficulties, and we feel like we need some time apart. That's all.
Maybe you should get counseling.
No, honey. Actually, we don't need counseling. The truth is, no one ever really needs counseling. We just need some time apart from each other.
No, you don't.
Grover.
You guys spent enough time apart. Maybe you need some time together.
That's enough, son.
You guys used to get along just fine. I mean, I remember when you couldn't keep your hands off each other.
All right, Grover, let's just stop this,
Ned,
okay?
Don't yell at him.
I'm not yelling. I'm trying to get some control here.
Well, you don't get control by yelling at people.
I'm sorry. Is there a list of ways to get control that you've made for us? Things I'm doing, not doing, should have done?
Not doing?
Yes.
Okay, the Beindorf family room.
What about it?
Well, supposed to have an entertainment area and a room for pool and maybe an extra bedroom. And it's been 14 years and you haven't finished the bathroom.
I've been working 14 years, Janet, trying to afford the house.
And what's my job? Is it a hobby?
Excuse me, kids. Great job on the party.
Wait, Dad, you can't leave. I mean, party's not over.
Yeah, you gotta watch your tape. You promised you'd watch it. Come on.
Yeah, it's really not very long. Plus, we have one more surprise.
Oh, Grover! Please take the champagne back upstairs and put it back where you found it. Thank you. Label out.
Grover takes the champagne bottle and leaves their parents sitting on the sofa. As they sit there, the main lights go out and soft lighting takes over.
Oh, what is going on with these kids?
Why did you have to argue in front of the children? The one thing the book said is don't argue in front of the children.
Did the book also mention that I would always be the faultless?
Shh! What? Keep your voice down, Ned.
I think they know there's something wrong here, Janet.
Just be quiet. What's that?
I don't know. Grover, what are you doing up there?
I'm nailing the door shut.
There you go. He's nailing the door shut.
It's just... drives you.
What?
You guys are going to stay down there a while.
Ned races to the door.
He's really doing it. He's nailing the door shut.
Grover, stop it right now. What you're doing is very bad for the wood.
Okay for the wood. We'll come back in the morning and see if you guys have worked anything out.
Ned and Janet try to break down the door with their shoulders. Ned goes to his tool cabinet.
I got my tools!
And the phone's gone too.
Oh, my God.
Boarded up the windows?
We boarded them up and put cement in the basins. I used that cement that's been sitting in the garage for 3 years.
And if you yell for help, no one will hear you. Besides, the Bagleys are on vacation.
You two are in very serious trouble. Do you hear me? Very serious trouble.
As a matter of fact, starting right now, you're both grounded.
No offense, guys, but I think you are.
Grover? Stacy?
Good night.
Ned switches off the TV. He goes back to Janet.
Be ready by tomorrow morning?
I don't know. I hope so.
What do you think they're going to do tonight?
Try to escape.
Ned takes off the wood that is nailed to the inside of a window and throws a chair at the glass, but it has concrete behind it. Janet grabs an ornamental wall clock and lashes out at the concrete slabs behind another window, but it bends the clock's ornate features. Janet sits defeated on the toilet as she examines the damage to her clothes and tights. Ned sits nonplussed with his head in his hands. He notices he still has his pointy party hat on, and so takes it off. As he does so, a balloon falls from above and bounces off his head. He grabs it and bursts it. The next day, and Grover and Stacy are at the basement door.
Morning!
Morning.
You guys ready to come out?
Yes, honey. We talked through most of our problems last night. We think we solved them.
Yes, all of them, in fact. This was a good idea.
Yes, we're fine. Really, we're fine now.
Dad, is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe it, but...
it worked.
Yeah, you should see us.
Really?
Yes.
Swear to God?
Swear to God. Come on, we're fine now. We're really happy.
You should see us.
So, what'd you guys talk about?
Everything. What didn't we talk about? I need to be home more often.
And I need to be a lot less controlling and organized.
Critical. And critical. I need to finish things that I start.
Well, it's actually not very critical. You're critical.
Of the two of us, I would say
What am I? You hate my hair.
I love the claw. I just can't touch it. That doesn't make me critical.
You know, it's not very nice of you to criticize the one thing that I'm very sensitive to.
Oh, no.
Wait. Son, what are you doing?
You guys lied. You're not better at all.
No. We're over. Let's go.
Mommy.
Stacy holds up a battery-operated nail gun. Ned looks up and down the door as nails are driven in all over it. Janet sits down on the basement steps.
Why did you have to argue?
Why did you have to say I was critical?
Because you were.
Grover, are you on drugs?
Yeah, I'm on heroin and Stacy's on crack.
Happy now?
Oh, he's kidding. You'd better be joking. Do you hear me? Gregory Allen Beindorf, do you hear me? What is wrong with you?
You guys are splitting up. That's what's wrong with me. Now get down there and start solving your problems.
Janet goes down the basement steps.
Not critical, huh?
Hi, Mr. Mitchell. Yeah, okay. My dad can't come to work today. He's barfing up all over the place. Okay, thanks.
Breakfast? Lunch.
Janet and Ned are given two measly sandwiches from under the door. Janet tucks in. Outside the house, Grover and Stacy get on their bikes.
Hurry up.
Okay.
Now you can't tell any of your friends at school.
I won't.
Hey, you fine dogs. Where are you both? You're late for work.
Good morning, Chief Rocco.
They got the bug that's going around.
I didn't know there was one.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's especially for old people.
The old man, Chief Rocco, looks concerned.
What? Shut up!
Matt calls out to Grover. Grover goes into the gents.
Listen, if you're still freaked out about your parents, you can tell me. I've been through it.
Not through this.
What do you mean?
Grover takes Matt to one side.
You promise not to tell him. Okay. Do you remember yesterday when you said that I should lock my parents in the closet?
Yeah.
Well, I did. But not in the closet. I locked them in the basement. But I didn't really lock them in. I nailed the door shut. And I told them I wasn't going to let them out until I talked out their problems.
You're kidding, right?
No.
Yeah, you are. You're yanking my chain.
Matt, I swear. It's like something came over me. You know, I had to do it.
Where are they now?
They're still down there.
Oh, you kidnapped your parents?
I am impressed, Barnyard.
Who would have thought that a wussy like you could pull off something like that?
TJ kisses Grover on the head. Grover's house.
Anybody home?
What is it? Is that them? Wait. Oh, guys.
Don't get out of it.
Oh, please.
Who's that?
I don't know. Let me see.
Give me whatever it is you guys are using to do that.
Come on here and get it, son.
Hi, Mr. Beindorf.
Move.
Oh, hi, Matt.
Hi, Mrs. Beindorf. How are you?
How do you think we are, Matty boy?
Don't yell at him. He could help us.
Oh, yeah, maybe I should ask him in for some cake. You like cake, Matt, huh?
Ha!
Oh, no, give me
No, that's mine.
I was trying to get their attention.
I'm in the Twilight Zone.
Using a cake knife, Janet and Ned have cut a small hole in the basement door to see through. Matt and Grover talk to them through it. From down the street, TJ drives towards Grover's house in his black van with flames painted down the side. The volume of the music makes Chief Rocco's house vibrate. He looks out of the window through binoculars at the van. Matt kneels at the basement door, measuring the hole with a tape measure. One of Janet's eyes peers out at him.
You know, you were always my favorite of Grover's friends. I don't know where you got this stupid idea.
Hello?
But do you think you could talk him out of it?
I'm sorry, what do you want?
Thank you.
Phone.
She's not here right now. Ralph Doyle? Got it.
Hello, we're locked in the basement. Help!
The noise, yeah, it's the TV. Bye.
How come you can tell your friends, but I can't tell mine?
Hey, everybody.
Oh, no.
Hey, what is that?
I don't know. Someone up
Hello?
There? Someone else there?
Hello?
Excuse me. Hey, who are you?
Hello? Who are you? Excuse me.
I'm your new security guard.
Oh, my God.
This door's got to go.
A wrought iron gate is erected.
Folks, you're looking at the Enforcer 2000. It's the best security door that money can buy. Now, there's no need to thank me. It's my gift to you. And since you're my favorite new customers, here's a little bonus gift. A shiny new pair of jumper cables, which just so happen to be connected to two, count them, two, 12-volt car batteries in my backpack. Now, that's why you're going to hand over the knife, Mr. Beindorf.
What are you talking about?
Let's just say that this tomato here is you. Gentlemen, please.
Here
you go.
TJ pulls down his face mask and applies two probes to the tomato, and electricity shoots through it, making it explode all over Ned's shirt.
Well, he wouldn't use that on us.
No, of course not.
So, let's go.
After you, hon.
Give it to me, Mr. Beindorf.
Of course.
Now get me whatever Mrs. Beindorf was digging with.
That was mine. He was using this piece of chair.
Give it to me, Mr. Beindorf. And give me the rest of the chair, too.
They hand over more items.
I just tell him everything, huh? Maybe he's my social security number. Pressure's not up there helping me.
Well, if you were, they'd never finish.
Thanks, big guy.
Okay, we're all done.
Good. Catch you later. Who was this guy? Remember, this hurts us more than it hurts you.
You want to ride?
Yeah, that would be good.
Close.
get a way to keep an eye on your parents. You can use my video equipment to hook up the cable on the basement TV.
No.
Well, hey, man. You gotta disconnect your doorbell. Otherwise, your parents will know when somebody rings. You can use my Christmas light.
No.
But hey,
wait,
man.
Wait a second. I don't get it. Why are you helping me?
It's like I told you. I think what you're doing is a good idea.
No, but you hate me, remember? You've always hated me.
And that's before I respected you. Hey, buddy. Later.
Matt and TJ leave.
Aw, man, I still think I had a good idea.
Yeah, well, I got a better one.
An office.
Hello, Dad. Hi, Mrs. Burtis.
Hello.
Changing your will again.
Ow. Go. I think I better be going.
Goodbye, Mrs. Burtis.
Goodbye. Nice to meet you.
Say hi to your husband for me.
I will.
TJ's house.
What class did you say this was for, TJ?
Sociology, Mom.
Oh.
It's a trust experiment.
Sociology, huh? This is kind of fun. You know, they used to take us on field trips and... What?
TJ ties his parents up with a rope and gags them with a hanky.
Hang on, Dad.
Matt's dad is tied and gagged and in a wheelbarrow.
Experiment complete.
Except one thing. We don't take sociology.
You guys should pay more attention.
Wait a second. What are you doing? They can't go down there.
Yes, they can. I paid for the door. Now open it up. We can't hold it much longer. Harry! Harry!
Ow!
Stick the door.
I'll get it.
TJ drives to Grover's house. Matt and TJ take their parents out of the van and put them in a basement. The hostages have a fishnet over them. The basement door is then shut closed.
Thank you.
Robert!
What is going on?
I don't know!
Robert, who are these people? Who are these people? Robert!
No, wait a second. They can't stay here.
Look, it took over 3 hours getting them here. We ain't taking them back.
No, stop. You can't do this.
Listen, dude, your parents aren't the only ones with problems, okay? My dad treats Mom like dirt.
Yeah, my dad's coming up on his second year with Louise.
So what?
So he always gets divorced on his second year. You know that. It's like clockwork. Come on, girls. We'll do some massive group therapy on him. It'll be fun.
No.
Daddy! Jimmy, stop it.
What are they doing here?
Well, I couldn't leave him at home.
Here you go, Matt.
No. Oh, yes, such a good dog you are.
You brought Cosmo?
Well, TJ brought Spot.
Say hi, Spot.
A snake?
A boa constrictor.
Whoa. Cool. What? Where do you want the sleeping bag?
In the house.
What is all this?
Sorry.
Dude, our parents could be down there for months.
And make way for him. Somebody had to have seen you guys.
Hey, look, nobody saw us, all right? Trust me.
I can't see. Get off of my leg. Get off. I got business to do. Get off me.
He's making people. He's making
Hello!
Go ahead.
You don't understand. We've been trying this for a little while. They don't listen. Maybe you could come downstairs, be a little more comfortable. It could be a while.
Wait. You mean we're going to be locked in the basement for a long time? That's some kind of joke, right?
Oh, I don't know. I read an article about some people who were locked in the basement, and then the neighbor came and found them hanged to death.
TJ switches on a hi-fi and dances around the room with a boa constrictor on his shoulders. He nearly bumps into Matt.
Hello.
Matt's brothers run around the living room, squirting super soakers at each other, whilst TJ puts the snake into the chandelier.
What are you guys doing?
One of Matt's brothers throws some food at him. He responds by throwing a packet of crisps back. Grover looks around the room and raises his hands in desperation. He goes upstairs to his bedroom, slams the door shut, and throws himself on his bed whilst burying his head under lots of pillows. The next day, and Grover is woken by Cosmo the dog, jumping on his bed and licking his face. Grover walks downstairs and goes into the lounge, which is littered with crisps and chocolate and broken glass on the floor. TJ sits asleep in a chair with the snake around his neck. Matt and his brother lie asleep on the sofa. Grover goes over to Stacy, who lies curled up with the cat in her arms.
Grover, honey.
Grover.
Hi.
Grover, listen. Your mother and my problems aside, this is completely out of hand now.
I know. What do I do?
It's very
simple. All you have to do is let us out.
Listen to me, sonny boy. Huh? The second that I get out of here, I'm having you arrested. Huh? That's right. Yeah, this is unlawful restraint. Now, that's a felony. You see?
Honey.
Come here! Yeah. Kid. I'm going to have you arrested.
Oh, darling, sweetheart. Here, darling, take this.
You know... What is it with you people? Have you ever heard of dusting?
Here. Donald's allergic to mold.
Honey, if anything, the house is spotless.
So when you're frightened, just do like my book says. Feel the fear and go for it. That's right. Feel the fear and go for it. Go for
it. Sorry about last night. I just wanted to have some fun.
Fun time is over, Stace.
Why are you letting him out?
How can I? I'm a felon. I'm gonna do what we started out to do. Get Mom and Dad back together. They need our help, so we're gonna help them.
How?
I don't know yet, but I need time to think.
Well, what about the other parents?
Stacey, they're not our problem. Okay, make sure everybody gets some breakfast. And don't let TJ out of your sight.
Good morning!
TJ, Stacy, Matt and his brothers are in the kitchen. TJ holds up a chocolate sauce bottle in his hand and squeezes it from a height into a cooking bowl filled with marshmallows. One of Matt's brothers puts in a spoonful of peanut butter. Stacy puts in a whisk, then switches it on. Chocolate sauce flies everywhere, narrowly missing the cat. The kids put their hands in the bowl and start flicking the mixture at each other. Matt wipes his chocolate-covered hands in his brother's hair, laughing as he does so. TJ wipes his filthy hands on Stacy's face. She laughs. They all dip their hands in the bowl and get out a handful of chocolate and peanut butter. They mold it into circles and then put it onto a paper plate that Matt holds out. They cook them and then give it to their parents through a hatch in the door.
What are these?
Crunchberry burgers.
Delicious!
Take it to the basement!
The basement.
Excuse me. If we could gather around, Ned and I just want to tell you how embarrassed we are. And sorry, and really hope we're going to get out soon. But until we do, I just thought maybe it would be a good idea if we laid some ground rules so that we all just got along better. First of all, if you have any questions, please don't...
Yeah, I do. You could actually... I need some help with something. You don't happen to have a cigarette, do you?
No. No, in fact, we don't allow smoking in the house.
Oh, well, then I guess I'll just go outside. What a charming house.
Secondly, you know, we are down here, so we might as well make the best of it.
Just like that, just make the best of it. You hear that, Gwen?
Well, TJ did say something about sleeping bags in case
Gwen,
we have to stay
Gwen,
for another...
Gwen, listen, honey, listen. We don't need sleeping bags, honey, because we're not staying another night in this godforsaken...
Oh, my God.
Look, give me the roll, honey.
So, Ned, how long have you been remodeling down here?
About 14 years.
Well, takes time. So, is your bathroom still working?
Yeah, toilet, sink, it all.
Huh. Louise?
Yeah?
Would you run interference for me, please?
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Donald Krupp speaks.
I am not being punished because your marriage has fallen apart, buddy. I'm holding you personally responsible for this.
Sounds like some sort of threat.
Well, is that what you think?
Hey, Dad, can you come up here for a second?
Go ahead. We'll see.
Yes, what is it?
Mr. Mitchell just called. He wants you to be at the airport in 1 hour with the plans for the Lakewood Mall.
Oh, good. Good that it's not too late. Great. Let me out of here right now, and I can still make the flight.
I don't think so, Dad.
Found it.
What do you mean you don't think
so?
Where are you going?
The airport.
We told Mr. Mitchell you were still safe.
Wait. Stacey, you understand. I worked very hard on this. I can't blow it.
Dude, just chill out, all right? It's just the mall.
Later.
Hey, Ned. Would you like to play Operation? Stacey!
In the lounge, Christmas tree lights flash, and a mechanical Santa plays the cymbals.
Bombs away!
Stop it!
Hey, oh my God. Guys, don't ring the doorbell until I tell you.
Matt looks through the door's spy hole. Chief Rocco stands outside. Matt opens the door.
Yeah?
Are the Bind Dogs home?
No, they're at the doctor's. I'm babysitting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I brought him some chicken soup.
Oh, thanks.
Grover pulls up on his bike in the town center and goes into a library that has a spire on its roof. Behind rows and rows of literature, Grover sits at a table, engrossed in a book. It's called Feel the Fear and Go For It. He stops reading and rubs his eyes. He notices in front of him the girl from the school canteen whom he gave the extra money to. The pretty young brunette takes a book and sits at a table and begins to read. Grover looks at her behind a sign that sits on the table. It reads in big letters, Silence is Golden. Grover looks back at his book, then thinks to himself.
Feel the fear. Go for it.
Grover stands up.
Feel the fear. And go for it. Feel the fear.
He anxiously walks over to her.
Quarter.
The girl buries her head in a book and starts to cry.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Robin Leach with those champagne wishes and caviar dreams. We all look forward to joining you.
Grover's house, and the kids watch TV.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Everything okay?
Everything is just brutal.
Well, listen, I brought some company. I think we can help her.
Hi.
A finger pushes the front doorbell. Grover goes to answer it.
Hi. I'm Cindy Figler. I'm Brooke's mom. I'm here for the emergency PTA meeting.
Well, come on in. Everybody's downstairs.
Cool. My daughter says there's some kind of health problem at school.
Yeah, lice.
Oh, lice.
Lice?
I don't understand. Isn't that some disease from the Middle Ages? Hi.
Everybody's right down here.
Yeah.
Go ahead, that way.
That's your mom.
Is this a PTA meeting?
Mom.
Brooke. Don't call me Mom. I have a name. What is it? What is it?
Cindy.
Thank you.
Fresh meat.
Excuse me. What seems to be the problem here?
We've been kidnapped, honey.
My name is Gwyneth. And this is my husband, Donald.
Okay, everybody, let's get started. Just gather around the door. We're going to start group therapy.
What? Group therapy. Yeah, it's funny, right? No. See, you're gonna be physical therapy. When I'm done with you. You understand me? Hey, you understand me? Hey,
Mom, you dress like me. You look like me. You talk like me. You say group.
No, not group therapy.
It was a nice try, Dylan.
Now, does anybody want to play some football?
All right, there's no need to shout. I always believe we should relate to children as adults and peers. I think if we talk to them very calmly. Therapy? Watch this. Brooke, honey?
Yeah! 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 Come here,
Cindy! Brooke, it's Cindy. Obviously, you're feeling confused about something. Brooke? Darling?
This way! Run it!
The kids are in the garden.
Hey, barn door, incoming! Come here, this way!
Grover throws the ball into a tree.
Shut up, okay? Everybody just shut up and listen for a second.
Come on, Groves, you know.
Grover looks at Matt sternly.
Now, your parents are here because you guys said they needed help. Now you could just care less. You're too busy playing football, or watching TV, or having some party.
Hey, look, who died and made you house mom?
I've got news for all of you. This was my idea, remember? And it's not a joke, and it's not a party, and I'm not doing this to impress anybody. No, you got that, Matt? Or are you too busy kissing up to TJ?
Well, what's wrong with that?
Go ahead. Beat me up.
TJ, let him go.
TJ, let him go. You know what? From now on, you're going to start to listen to what I have to say. Or I'm going to let all the parents out.
TJ, come on.
Such a bully. My mother ain't help. I'm not going to have to
play. You guys heard the man? Now let's listen up.
TJ releases his grip on Grover.
Okay. First order of business, we gotta clean the house. After that, we're gonna make this group therapy thing work.
Grover, how are we gonna get them to listen to us?
I've got an idea.
Don't hover over me! You made me drop the Adam's apple!
I'm sorry, Vic. My God, it's just a game.
Backing me up there for over an hour.
I know. I hope they haven't gotten stains on my carpet. What do you use?
Oh, well, for the really tough ones, I dab a little detergent, and then I sprinkle with a little talcum powder.
You use and the Zeppelin?
Hello? What is this? Vacation? Huh? We're being outwitted by a bunch of snot-nosed kids. Come on. There's got to be a way out of here.
Excuse me. I'm not sure who elected you mayor of the basement, but this is my house, and I also happen to be an architect, so I think I would know every nook and cranny
of... Of course.
What?
The laundry chute. Do you remember when we bought the house? There was a laundry chute that went from our bedroom to the basement, and you closed it because you were scared the kids would fall through it.
The laundry chute!
Where are the plans? Oh, now we're going up the laundry chute.
Louise Finley sits on the sofa with Cindy Figler.
He's not my brother. He was my brother.
Hi.
He's my husband.
You don't have a cigarette, do you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. I have one cigarette that I've carried in my purse ever since I quit smoking 5 years ago. And any time I get the urge, I pull it out, and I look at it, and I say, who's stronger, you or me?
That's a great. That's so good. Good for you. Can I have it?
No. It has sentimental value.
Don't label it all, all right? This crap labeled, these aren't. Found it!
Got it!
Good. Now we're getting somewhere.
Okay, here we go. Let's see.
Watch out.
Grover, stop that!
Watch out.
Grover!
A saw cuts a hole in the basement roof, and a mechanical arm pops through, with a camera on the end.
Grover, what are you...
The
Is that a camera?
Good.
Camera for their hair.
Two speakers appear through two more holes.
Testing. Testing. Ah! Testing. Ah! 5, 4, 3, 2.
One last.
Hello, and welcome to the Grover Beindorf Hour. Live from up above. These are my assistants.
We are here to help you.
Oh, my God.
Did you say something, Mom? Yeah, the holes. If you're mad about the holes, don't worry. I promise. It may take 30 years, but I'll pay you back for them.
Okay, everybody, let's get started. Mrs. Finley, if you could please move the TV under the camera, everybody make a semicircle around the TV, and we'll begin with a little music to remind us of better days gone by. Remember this one?
TJ's dad lashes out at the camera.
No. We're not just getting started. It's finishing. It's ending. It's over right now. Finito.
Daddy, Jimmy, pull it up.
I hate that song.
That was our song.
Well, how am I supposed to remember that? I gotta get out of here.
It was.
Everyone is going to participate, Dad.
And why is that, son?
Well, because if you don't, we won't feed you. And then... Well, then we'll shut off the water. It means once you flush that toilet, your drinking water's gone.
You wouldn't.
Of course he wouldn't.
Oh, yes, we would, Louise. Now, move the TV.
Come on,
okay. Move the TV.
We'll start out easy. I promise it won't be hard. And when we're through, we'll have a little lunch.
Maybe.
How's that?
You know, my son's got a point. TJ, I just wanted to say that...
What's happening?
Help! Help!
Help!
Get the help!
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 Help! Help!
Help!
Help! What do we do?
The station's gonna go down.
Call 911! Breathe in his mouth! Breathe
please. Cut it out, right? Everyone, sit down and let's get this thing going.
Please, to breathe on
get off me.
It worked.
He's alive! Did you see that? He's alive!
Oh, come on. That just wasn't funny at all.
At least I tried.
Okay, everybody settle down.
I think that the kids have a very good idea here. It's obviously important to them, and I think that we should cooperate.
Cooperate? Well, I certainly don't want to drink toilet water.
Yeah.
Yes, I think my wife is right. Why don't we get in that circle thing that they were saying?
Good. Okay, okay, let's start out easy by going down the line and saying our names and occupations. We'll start on Dad's end. Dad?
Ned Beindorf. I'm an architect. I work at Mitchell Engineering. Or at least I did.
Oh, me? I'm Cindy Figler. I'm a dental hygienist by day, and I'm a performance artist by night.
Mom, you're a waitress.
Brooke. I am not a waitress. You know, I get up and perform those pieces. I only serve coffee between sets.
Anyhow, I think it's way cool that you kids have chosen to share your feelings with us.
God, she's doing it again.
What? Your mom's
upset. She's talking like me. I can't stand it.
What?
What's she talking about?
I think we should all hold hands.
Mom, please stop it.
Well, I'm Victor Finley, but everybody just calls me Vic.
Hi, Vic.
And I'm a salesman at Buckeye Big and Tall. You know, if you're big and tall and you want to look sporty, come on down to Buckeye and ask for Johnny.
Hi. I'm Louise Finley, and I am a part-time cosmetologist at Stang's Pharmacy, and I'm Vic's full-time audience.
Yes. Well, I'm always getting standing ovations, especially in bed.
This is great. We're all talking. Let's continue. Mom?
Yes?
What were you doing?
Stretching, honey. My back hurts very much. Didn't sleep well.
I'm Janet Beindorf, and I'm a loan officer at Defiance Bank, and I am in charge of keeping 317 credit histories up to date and ready at a moment's notice.
Ha! So you're the one!
Matt's dad launches at Janet.
He loves to play games with finance people. Stop it. Just stop it.
Next.
Dad?
Yes. I'm Donald Krupp, attorney at law. And I want you kids to know that you are guilty of kidnapping. Under Ohio Revised Code Section 2905.01, this is an aggravated felony of the first degree.
Second degree under the revised code.
Gwenna, I'm talking.
Now, Mrs. Krupp, what were you saying?
Gwenna Krupp, homemaker.
TJ looks at the TV morosely.
That's it. You know, I've had it. This is ridiculous. Hey, your son is truly certifiable.
Wait a minute.
My son?
Yeah, your son.
How about when a yearbook comes out and your kid's picture going to be there? Most likely to be a serial killer. That's your boy.
Okay, everybody, just settle down, okay?
That's it.
Ned punches Donald Krupp in the stomach. As a fist fight breaks out in the basement, all the kids sit round the TV with crisps to watch. Janet screams at the camera for the kids to help. Grover and TJ grab super soakers and squirt their dads through the holes with water.
You take your dad, I'll take mine.
Gwyneth accidentally catches Louise's hair extensions, and it comes off in her hand. Louise goes ballistic. Ned gets up from the floor.
Started.
The answer machine.
Janet, Ralph First Doyle here. Listen, I'm leaving town on Monday. Please give me a call before then. Saturday,
11:22. Janet, so what's next? We just wait.
My dad's pretty stubborn, you know?
Yeah, so is ours.
You know, your mom's been handling this the best of all.
Yeah, well, she should. She's been in therapy since the day I was born.
Well, it worked.
I mean, she's always been the most popular mom on the block, and that was okay when I was 7, but now she wants to, like, go and hang out with me and my friends, or worse, go out with us. That's what she learned to stay out of my life.
At least she cares enough to try to stay in it.
You know, I don't see why this is necessary.
Hey, that old fart still thinks he's chief of police. He's dangerous, okay?
Yeah, but I don't know about this.
All right, prepare for demonstration. Now, this is really quite simple, okay? Rocco trips over a series of carefully disguised wires, and voila!
A dummy flies into the air.
I think you might want to give this a little more thought.
I think maybe this will work for you.
A blanket.
Grover? Grover?
Yeah, Mom?
Can I talk to you upstairs, please?
Grover, whose dog is that?
Matt's.
This has gotten out of hand. And it's very tense down here, especially between your father and sister.
So what? Tell them to start getting along. They're adults.
You know how your father gets. He's not going to back down, especially when his pride is hurt.
Honey, please just let us out.
Mama, you can't do that.
Well, at least give us some food. Something's got to bend here. Now, I know these people are your hostages, but they're also guests in our home, and we don't treat guests this way. So why don't you make a meatloaf? There's some turkey in the fridge, and you can use Aunt Mary's recipe.
Yeah, I know, Mom. mean, meatloaf and lasagna, pot roast. You don't have to leave notes for me, hide them in my lunch, laminate lists for me. I'm not a kid anymore.
I know.
Vic secretly passes Ned the architect's plans.
Ned?
Ned?
Yes? Do you think Krupp is right? Do you think we're bad parents?
I think Krupp is an idiot. No, I don't think we've been bad parents. I think you've done a great job. Listen, we found the chute.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Okay, well, I think the kids are going to be distracted cooking for a while. Let's go.
All right. We got to organize. Now, Louise.
What?
Could you watch the stairs?
Where?
At the top of the stairs.
Cindy, could you find something sharp to dig with over there?
Yeah. It's coming!
Janet tries to smash a hole in the roof with the heel of a shoe. Stacy speaks.
Books on the left, making spoon on the right.
Well, silverware usually comes wrapped in plastic.
Doesn't your mom cook?
She can defrost it.
Or have it delivered.
Actually, guys, the glasses go on the... Wait a minute. Who's going to say anything if we, change things around?
Obi-Wan has taught you well.
Whilst dancing, Brooke flutters a tablecloth over the table. TJ goes to a cabinet and opens the door. He salutes one of Matt's brothers, then hands him several placemats. Both he and TJ spin the mats and plates through the air to Brooke, Stacy and TJ, who catch them on the other side of the room. Smaller plates are thrown from the cabinet this time, while the entire group dance around the table. Cosmo the dog sits on the floor with his tongue out whilst looking up at the group. Next, glasses come out, and these are also flung through the air and caught by the others. Matt dives for some, and Grover catches one under his legs. More dancing. A rolling pin has a ladle over it, and TJ and Matt's younger brother load it up and catapult cutlery to the others. Stacy tries to catch the items but drops them every time. Grover leads a conga line around the dining room. From the kitchen, the group dance whilst bringing out food on trays. They place the food on the table, then dance their way back into the kitchen. A candle is lit by Brooke, who smiles. Grover and his friends sit at the highly decorated table and take napkins out of the wine glasses. Matt has a look of confusion on his face, as his has a napkin ring on. Grover speaks.
Here we are. This is... unbelievable.
Yeah, this is really nice.
I still can't believe you're here.
Why not?
Because, you know, you're... Brooke Figler.
What's that supposed to mean?
Gorgeous, popular, legendary.
And what are you?
Invisible.
Yeah, everyone's invisible to the Ice Queen. She has her image to uphold.
How would you know?
In eighth grade, I sat behind you for a whole year. Whew, I felt the chill.
You never even came to class.
Oh, did I strike a nerve?
Come on, you guys, you're acting like them.
She's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too.
You know, they could learn from us. I mean, if we could get along.
Yeah, that's one thing all of us have in common. Our parents are nuts. My mom reads one more New Age self-help book.
My mom still labels my sandwiches.
What about Matt's dad with those jokes?
What's wrong with my dad's jokes?
Yeah, they're funny.
We happen to like them.
And then there's my parents.
Brooke looks at TJ uncomfortably.
When you get old, you get crazy.
I'm not going to be like that when I grow up.
Me either.
Mm-mm. You know, this dinner calls for a special celebration. And a little music. I'll be right back.
What are you doing?
No!
What's a little fine dining without some bubbly?
You don't understand. My mom has been saving that for 14
Silence
years. She's gonna
no
kill me.
No wine before your prime. She'll get over it.
No.
Oh, sorry. Oh. I need a beverage for thee.
To champagne wishes and caviar dreams.
I've always wanted to try this stuff.
The group take a drink but don't swallow. They look at one another, their faces wincing.
Mom should have drank it while it was still fresh.
In the basement, Vic speaks.
So, Ned, why do you have all these strange decorations down here?
Well, the kids put them up for our anniversary.
Yeah, they wanted to remind us of our honeymoon in Hawaii.
Well, can you imagine having a Hawaii honeymoon?
That would be so great. Where did you go?
Oh, we didn't have a honeymoon.
You didn't have a honeymoon?
No, Dahl was still busy at work and I was still waitressing.
The waitress?
Yeah, for 5 years.
Really?
You see, Dahl and I were at law school together, but he couldn't afford the tuition, so I dropped out and started waitressing until he got established.
She wanted to.
I got it!
Well?
Oh, the latch is broken and the door's rusted shut.
Oh, get me down.
All right, honey, let's take
a little break.
Let's take a little break.
There we go.
A pipe or something that we could
hit out of the
floor.
Vic speaks to Louise. Just hang on a little longer, honey. I mean, when we get out of here, I'm going to buy you a whole truckload of cigarettes.
No, it's not that.
Well, what is it then?
It just must be nice to have kids who care about you as much as theirs do.
What are you talking about? My kids love you.
You see, it's your kids. I mean, they don't think of me as their mother. They don't even want me as their mother.
Well, of course they do. Why do you think they locked you in here?
Brilliant.
Yes. Ned goes to the fuse box.
Turning off electricity. Don't you understand? They can't survive without electricity. No Nintendo, no MTV.
I've already thought of it. It won't work.
Will work. 2 hours without electricity, they'll be screaming for their mommy.
2 hours without electricity, and we are going to be screaming while they burn down the house with matches.
Ned and Janet fight over the on-off switch. As the house lights flash, Chief Rocco looks out of his window. Matt looks at his champagne in his glass.
You just don't like this because it isn't your plan.
You are so childish.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Why are you acting this way?
Why am I acting this way? Why? I haven't a clue. Let's take a stab at it, shall we? Oh, yeah, I got it. We've been held hostage since Thursday. Our kids are starting to act like Freud. I've probably lost my job. Just been in a fistfight with the town's biggest asswipe. And we just wasted the entire day with your stupid plan.
Oh, turning off the electricity is brilliant. Oh, it's a brilliant plan. Oh, I forgot. You graduated from Mensa, didn't you? You and Nostradamus were like this. It's a bad plan, Ned. It's a stupid plan.
What did he just call me?
Asswipe.
The plumber's wrench is over by the camera. You guys are in big trouble now.
The doorbell lights flash.
It's the cops. Hide.
TJ hides the champagne bottle in his rucksack.
Hi. Can I help you?
Yeah, we're responding to a complaint. A neighbor says your lights keep flashing.
Oh, yeah, that, it's the electricity. We've been having some troubles with it.
Are your parents at home?
No, sir.
Hi, officers.
Roche, we're waiting for you. Come on. You guys can come too.
You sure?
Yeah, follow me. Come on in.
Brooke's on the floor playing Twister.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Want to play?
Yeah.
No thanks.
Fuse box. You see, the pole wire can loosen the jam rod, which goes to short in the Green Day connector.
What are you doing, officers? I paid those parking tickets.
Chief Rocco corners the police in their car.
So, what'd you find, huh?
Oh, the usual, Chief. Sex, drugs, Twister.
Everything's fine, Chief. Have a good night.
Get some rest.
Chief Rocco looks surprised.
Yes! Yes! We did it! Yes!
How did you guys keep the parents quiet?
Ah, my friend, with Matt.
Matt!
Stay back. Remember the tomato, okay?
You are going too far with that.
You're bluffing.
Now stay back.
You're not fooling me. You're not fooling me.
Donald grabs Matt's backpack. Louise pulls him off.
Mr. Grubb!
Al!
Mom!
Thanks. He called me Mom.
It was our way out of here. Something didn't work.
Are you all right?
I'm ashamed of all of you. You ask us to listen to you and to trust you, and you're up there drinking?
Well, it was my fault, Mrs. Beindorf. I opened it, but I only took a little sip.
Oh, only a sip? Oh, well, that's just fine, isn't it? What kind of impression are you making on these younger children?
I'm sorry.
Oh, well, sorry isn't good enough, is it? Now, I want you all in bed right now. Do you hear me? Right now. Right now.
You guys heard the lady. Let's go.
That was good.
Good night.
So that's how it's done. What do we do now?
Well, if I had a little piece of wire, then my stupid plan would have worked.
Wire? That's it? There's wire all over the basement!
Well, if that's all you want, why not take apart Louise's brassiere? You can wire the whole town!
After being disappointed with finding the champagne bottle in the rucksack, Janet gets a lift up to the laundry chute exit and tries to open the catch with the wire from Louise's bra. It opens and a few clothes fall on the group below. The chute is filled with cobwebs. Janet tries to climb inside. In one of the bedrooms, the group look through a telescope at Chief Rocco, who looks back through binoculars.
First window on the right. That dude can have us put away, man.
But we're minors.
Janet climbs inside the cobweb-filled tunnel. As she clings to a corner, three rats climb down her arm and down her back.
I don't think Rocco's smart enough to get us put away.
I mean, what if we end up in jail?
Well, what would our parents do to us?
What would the other prisoners do to us?
We could be outside the house. We could be surrounded.
Janet hits the side of the wall.
Did you hear something? They're inside the house.
They're in the wall.
Janet breaks away the plaster and peers her cobwebbed face through a gap.
It's Mom!
I can't! Do you think you can maybe just give me a little hand here? Thanks.
Janet loses her grip and falls down the shaft back towards the basement with her hands outstretched in front of her. Cindy kicks a mini trampoline in front of the tunnel just as Janet reaches the bottom. Her feet land on it. She bounces into Ned's arms, which breaks her fall.
What happened?
What happened?
What?
Oh, Jerry, your victory.
What can we do now?
There's always champagne. What do you say?
Why not?
Grover points to the hole in the plaster.
We gotta board this up.
Yeah.
Gwyneth pulls a revealing lacy gown out of a box.
Oh, what is this?
Oh, that was something that Ned gave me for Valentine's Day. It wasn't me.
Oh, I know. When you become a mom, you don't get to wear stuff like this anymore.
No.
I'd roll over and die if I believe that. Thank you.
No, thanks.
Hey, you want some champagne?
Oh, no, thank you. I prefer not to indulge in artificial stimulants of any kind.
But you are of age to drink, right? 21, at least.
What do you mean by that?
I think what he's trying to say is, judging from the way you talk and dress, I'd say you're about 15.
Excuse me. I don't really think the way I talk and dress is any business of yours.
Ah, well. You know, a lot of people don't dress their age. Phil Donahue did a whole show
Grant,
about
no one wants to hear about Phil Donahue right now.
Why are you always interrupting her all the time?
Well, I don't think I always interrupt
her. How would you like it if somebody interrupted you every time you started to talk?
Well, like I said, I don't think you
respect her very much.
Respect? She's my wife. Of course I respect her, for God's sakes.
Well, actually, Donald, you do
interrupt. Well, I'm talking. You're a fine one to talk about respect with you and your kid. You think your daughter respects you? You dress like you're 12?
Gwyneth pushes her slice of a cake in Donald's face.
Excuse me.
He walks off.
How about a toast?
Yeah. To what?
How about to a night... all alone without our kids.
Sorry, John.
Ned, do you play that thing?
No. No, I...
Oh, yeah, come on, Ned. Play the song. Don't
you play.
Play.
I'm sorry I made fun of you, really, honey. Come on. You play.
I didn't know how to do a hula.
Oh, I learned it on our honeymoon.
Janet puts on a garland over her neck and begins to hula in front of Ned, who plays a small ukulele.
Come on, Ned, dance with me, please.
No, I can't.
That's not what I remember. Come on.
What about music?
I'll take care of the music.
Janet takes the ukulele off Ned and shares her garland with him. She switches on a musical box and beckons him to follow her with her fingers, and he obeys. She circles him and then gets behind him to help him move his body to the music. Around them, the others are dancing too. Upstairs, Grover can't sleep, so he gets up from his bed. Meanwhile, in the basement, Janet and Ned have each other in their arms, dancing close together and smiling. Donald is away from the group and at a window that's bricked up. He hits it with a metal stick while looking over at the others.
It's a shame there's other people are here.
What people?
Janet and Ned realize they're alone and slink off to a nearby wall. The others don't notice. Donald keeps attacking the bricks.
Dreams come true in blue Hawaii. And all my dreams will come true on this night of nights with you.
Grover walks downstairs looking withdrawn and tired and goes to the fridge. He reacts to the faint singing, then gets out a carton of milk and drinks from it. He puts the carton back, then walks into the lounge.
What are you doing up?
I couldn't sleep.
Me either. So what's going on?
They're dancing.
Grover joins Stacy at the TV and sees Ned and Janet dancing arm in arm. Stacy smiles at Grover. He smiles back, then switches off the TV.
Let's go to bed.
Grover puts the remote control back on the TV and leads Stacy off upstairs to bed. It's late, and the basement is dark. Video footage of Ned and Janet's wedding day is played on a TV. Gwyneth is asleep on a sofa. Nearby is Janet, who is watching the video. She has her fingers to her lips as she tries to stop herself from crying. Ned stirs and notices Janet is no longer lying next to him. And he sees her kneeling at a TV in the dark. The next day, and Grover is asleep in his bed. Slowly, the snake makes his slinky way up Grover's duvet. It slides under his arm and stops inches from his face. Grover notices movement but is unaware of what it is whilst his eyes are closed. Down in the basement, TJ lowers the video camera from the roof.
Gosh, my boy. Gosh, my boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the Mr. Tom Jones!
Donald continues to hammer away at the bricked window as Vic and Louise appear from a makeshift tent, smiling and moving their heads in time to the music.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone.
Grover walks into the bathroom on Brooke, who's adjusting her dressing gown.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I just finished, actually. Go ahead.
Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, Grover, remember last night when you said that you were invisible?
Yeah.
Well, you're wrong. I've always noticed you, and... well, you're not invisible.
They look at each other for a while. Grover stares at Brooke astonished. Down in the kitchen, the dogs eat breakfast as TJ makes everyone waffles. Brooke turns to put the dirty dishes in the bin as Grover crosses behind her. Their eyes meet and they hold each other's gaze, smiling. Grover breaks away to answer the door.
Hello, is your mother home?
Yes, but she's sick. We all are.
She's been waiting for this. Could you tell her it's from Mr. Doyle?
Oh, okay. Do you work with her at the bank?
No, I'm her lawyer.
Thanks.
Grover drops the file he was given on the floor. He picks the papers up and reads them. He looks up in a contemplative manner. In the basement, Janet sits on some steps in a reflective mood. Ned sits next to her and hands over some waffles on a plate.
Last night.
Can I just have your attention for just a minute, please? Introducing the new Cindy Figler. Come on. From the private basement collection of Janet Beindorf, Cindy is wearing a beautiful evening gown of green sequins, and it's got a green dirndl skirt as well.
We're ready.
All right, everybody.
Let's get down to business. Mom? Dad? Your turn.
Are you all right?
Okay, Mom, I'm the one asking the questions right now, right? And what's the first thing that you noticed about Dad?
Honestly? His car. It's true. It was a 1972 Olds Cutlass convertible. It was dark blue with a V8 engine, had no muffler. It was very loud. My father hated it, and of course I loved it. It really was a beauty, and Ned took great care of it.
Dad, what'd you notice about Mom?
Ned looks straight at the camera.
That she was the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen.
So let's cut to the chase. What went wrong?
It's just like we said, it's not any big things. It's just a bunch of
little things. Just like you thought you should get a divorce.
Honey, we've said we're not getting a divorce. Mommy and Daddy just needed some time, and we thought it'd be best if we separated for just a little while.
I didn't, actually. I mean, you said you were unhappy, and I said, well, if you're unhappy, then maybe we should get...
Ned, you did say so.
No, no, I mean, I wasn't happy, but I didn't say...
Ned, I remember you saying it. You don't really talk all that much, so I would remember that you would say it. You definitely
Why does everything have to turn into a fight with you guys? No wonder you came divorced.
Son, again, no one is saying anything about divorce. No one's talking about divorce.
And who's in the divorce papers? Who turned off the answering machine?
I want to see those papers.
Matt! Hey, Matt, are you still up there?
Right here, Mr. Beindorf.
Matt, Matt, bring the papers up for me to see. Now!
Hello?
Hi, it's Ralph Doyle.
Matt, what do you want?
I want to talk to your mother.
I thought I told you that she's sick.
Did you give her that tax?
Oh, you mean the divorce papers? Yeah, she got them. She was just thrilled.
What happened to trial separation, huh?
He's going
to
send these people just to see.
Oh, she's getting a little ugly down here, man.
Tell her we're having a party.
Whoopee!
I said, don't talk to
her. I'm sure she must have some
Matt
questions.
Rose?
Oh, yeah.
Well, so do I. We're supposed to be saving marriages, not breaking them up.
Grover pushes Matt out of the way and goes into the living room. He goes to the sound system and switches the music on full. Matt follows him and covers his ears. Grover lifts up an electrical unit as if to smash it, and then thinks again and drops it on the floor. He pushes the records on the ground, and then pushes over a chair. He goes to the wall and hits it with his fists, then slowly falls to the ground. Matt backs away to the front door, where the rest of the group enter with shopping. Grover looks up at them flustered, then barges through, grabs his coat, and leaves. The group look on unnerved. TJ speaks.
What happened?
Things just aren't going exactly the way we planned.
Grover gets on his bike and cycles off. In the basement, the television is playing Bugs Bunny as Ned helps Donald to pick away at the bricked window.
Ned.
What?
Come on, I'm sorry.
About what? You purposely deceiving me? I don't think so.
Look, I went to this lawyer just for advice, and he said that anybody who separates, they usually drop divorce papers. He said you were probably doing the same thing.
Well, I wasn't. And if I were, I would have told you.
Come on, Ned, just talk to me.
Talk to my attorney, Donald.
I get to the house. Kids may be a problem.
Grover cycles as fast as he can down a road on his bike. Then the road slowly turns into a steep hill until Grover can cycle no more. He gets off his bike and starts to run with it. At a river, Grover sits on a rock. Alone, he looks at a waterfall that's opposite him. Around him are broken logs and branches. In his solitude, he turns his gaze from the water to the ground and begins to cry. The water, unrelenting, gushes over its ravine, cascading down into the river below. Back at the basement, Janet has her head in her hands and is comforted by the other women. The men look at Vic.
They're trying to escape.
Okay. Rose is gonna be pissed! He'll be back any second!
Vic is pushed through a very small hole in the bricked-up window. His head pops up on the outside.
Hang in! Hang in, honey, hang in! Yes, you can do it.
Louis?
Be careful! Help!
The kids run outside and see Chief Rocco pass in his car. They stop running and start skipping and wave at him. He drives off. The kids run to Vic and push his head back down the hole. Grover arrives back to the chaos.
Operator, this is Chief Rocco. Get me the police.
The kids run up to Grover's bedroom door.
Grover!
Grover! Oh, something's wrong, huh? Well, what about this?
Vic's head is revealed under a wheelbarrow.
Hello. This is Officers Davis and Burkowski.
Something strange going on here.
The booby trap activates.
Hey, did you see that?
Hey, Dave, what happened to you?
Did you see that? How did those kids do that?
Hey, Dave! Hey, Dave!
You wait right here. Don't go away. I'm going to get help.
Chief!
In the house, it's dusk. Grover opens the door, and the kids get to their feet. Grover looks depressed.
Come on in.
The group stand at the door and look on as Stacy switches on the light and goes to give Grover a big hug as he sits solemnly at the end of his bed.
How are you doing? Bad. Same here.
The rest of the group enter the bedroom and all gather round Grover.
It's over.
What do you mean?
I mean, we failed. Our parents aren't going to change just because we want them to. What we did was wrong. Wrong and stupid. It's time to let them out, guys.
No, wait a minute. Look, it wasn't stupid at all. So, maybe we can't fix everything, you know, but who can? But at least we tried, right? Look, I don't know if your parents are going to separate or divorce or live happily ever after, but we didn't fail. I mean, at least they know how we feel.
She's right, Groves. And who'd have thought we'd all be friends, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, who says we're friends?
No, I'm more like a family.
Brooke goes to Grover and hugs him. Grover closes his eyes and hugs her back. TJ, Matt, and his two younger brothers and Stacy look on at the couple with delight. TJ, overcome with emotion, looks at the group.
You guys, group hug.
Group hug.
Oh,
God, I love you all so much. God, I love you.
As Grover and Brooke join the others for a group hug, the police suddenly arrive outside the house, as do reporters and cameramen.
The house is completely surrounded. Come on, put your hands up.
What's going on?
riot police jump out from the back of a police van.
Come on, let's go. I forgive you. Come on.
Donald goes to exit up the stairs and looks behind at his wife. She looks back uncertain what to do. Ned walks past Janet, stops and looks at her dismayed, then moves off to Donald on the stairs. The women look at Janet disheartened.
I'm sure that it's not over yet for you.
Hey, honey, you two still loved each other when you were fighting over the fuse box. You had so much passion.
Yes, don't ever lose that, honey, okay?
Chief Rocco speaks into a megaphone.
I repeat, put down your weapons and come out with your hands up. The house is completely surrounded. Prepare to enter, boys. You have 5 seconds. 1, 2.
Grover slowly opens the door and is blinded by a bright spotlight which shines on him. His friends' faces slowly appear from behind the doorframe, looking out at the melee. Grover looks scared at the situation outside and takes a glance at his friends behind him. Chief Rocco looks at Grover, surprised.
Our parents are locked in the... Our parents are locked in the basement! And Mr. Finley's stuck in one of the windows. We are prepared to surrender!
As the others slowly join Grover on the doorstep, they raise their hands in the air, surrendering.
Let's go!
Go, go, go!
The riot police go to the kids and usher them away from the porch. Other police with guns primed enter the kitchen with torches and pull back a curtain which covers the locked wrought iron door to the basement. The parents stand at the door staring out.
Whoa, look at this.
It's some kind of cult.
Officer, my husband's the door. In the wall.
Donald sneezes. In slow motion, riot police walk down the path from the house. Stacy has her hands in her pockets as she stands being interviewed by a police officer in the garden. Donald shades his eyes from the glare of the press's camera lights as he walks past them looking disheveled. Grover, Brooke, Matt and his two brothers are escorted by the police down the pavement as Grover looks on at Ned walking out of the house with his hands blocking the lenses of the gathered TV crews. Ned looks on at Grover, who is now being manhandled by the police. Gwyneth smiles as she talks to a TV camera. When a police officer moves the camera to one side, she looks at the officer annoyed. Cindy walks out next in an evening dress, beaming at the cameras. Grover stops to look on and is then grabbed by an officer to carry on walking. Louise walks down the press-lined garden path in awe at the spectacle that greets her. She holds her hair extensions in her hands as she walks. Grover is violently pushed towards a waiting police car and is then spun round by a police officer who talks to him. Grover looks past the police officer at his mum, who exits the house last. Grover looks sadly down at the ground. Police lights flash around him. Cindy speaks.
Does anybody have a cigarette for my friend here?
I quit.
Oh, sir, could you help me? My husband is in the wall.
Janet looks at Ned, who kneels and hugs Stacy.
You're in very big trouble, you know that, don't you?
Ned!
I'm going to have to get a statement from the guard.
I'll be there in a minute.
Don't talk, then. Look. Look at what Grover's done for us. Not this. Just everything else.
We made mistakes, Ned. I made most of them. Just, I don't think they would have done any of this if we hadn't done something right. But it doesn't matter what I've said. Ned. You love me very much.
And you love me too.
Janet nods lovingly, and they both kiss each other passionately on the lips with their arms around each other. TJ speaks.
Hold on a second, Mom. Grover!
Ma'am?
Grover! Grover!
Anything you say, Ken?
You've lost the right to remain silent. Anything you say, son. Excuse me.
Right.
Excuse me?
Grover walks a few feet away from an officer who cautions him and witnesses his parents kissing. Stacy moves to Grover and looks on at Ned and Janet. After a while, they both hug each other in elation. Brooke, smiling, crosses to Grover. Chief Rocco tries to pull a trapped Vic from the window. His dog jumps at him, he falls back over a tripwire and into a booby trap which captures him in a cargo net and pulls him up into the air.
Excuse me, miss. Son, do you understand his rights as I've explained to me?
What?
Grover! Do you have any idea?
Donald grabs Grover and pins him down on a police car's bonnet. Everyone stops him. Vic speaks.
Excuse me? Hello?
We were charged with kidnapping, civil disobedience, and practicing psychotherapy without a license. We all spent a night in juvenile hall, but then Mr. Krupp came and got us out. Mrs. Krupp said she'd take him for everything he had if he didn't. They, later got divorced. Mrs. Krupp went back to law school, though. They started up their own law practice, Krupp and Krupp, attorneys at law. Mr. and Mrs. Finley are doing great. They even passed the 2-year mark. And Mrs. Finley is expecting a new member of the family. Mrs. Figler stopped going out on Brooke's dates and started going out on her own. All of us kids still pretty much hang out together. And things pretty much got back to normal. Well, not quite normal.
In the school canteen, all the students give Grover a standing ovation. TJ, Matt and Brooke step aside and clap Grover too. Then Brooke moves back in and gives Grover a lingering kiss on the lips.
And Brooke and I are also kind of dating right now. It's weird, but great. Found a good shrink, and they're still together. In fact, right now, me and Stacy are with them on their second honeymoon in Hawaii. Well, Stacy, can you zoom in on that kiss?
Sure.
Hang on a second. I almost forgot. Mom and Dad made us promise never to lock them in the basement again. We promised, because we figured there's always the attic.
In Hawaiian shirts, the group walk down a beach towards the sea in a line, holding hands and with their arms around each other. They start to run to the sea. The end.